and welcome to the second episode of the Animal Addicts Podcast. We do hope the sound is greatly improved for this episode. If there are still major issues, please let us know. You can find us on social media at Animal Addicts P on Twitter and at Animal Addicts Podcast on Instagram. On today's episode, we get a mini biology lesson, learn about a special breed of dog, and find out some interesting facts about three animals of the avian variety. This week, we continue in South America for our Featured Animals of the Week, or AW, segment. We will have two more weeks of South American animals, and then in September, we will move on to Central and Northern America. That being said, it's time to jump into episode 2 of the Animal Addicts Podcast. We're your hosts, Allie
and Casey,
and today we're going to discuss a variety of animals and get a little mini biology lesson. First, I want to address something from last week. We did not know the correct plural for giraffe, and I looked it up, and according to the Cambridge English Dictionary, the plural of giraffe can be both giraffes and giraffe. So we were all right. I choose to say giraffe because I think it sounds fancier.
And I will choose to still say giraffes.
And I think most people say giraffes. So what have you been up to in the week since I last saw you, Casey?
So I recently went to the San Diego Zoo. And first off, very hot day that day.
Oh, and with the mask, awful.
Yes.
Were people actually wearing their masks? Because when I went a long time ago, they weren't.
There were those that followed along with protocol.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then there's the nose people, of course.
Okay. You guys. Oh, no! We learned! I can't! We've also discovered I say you guys a lot, so I guess we have a drinking game now,
yes,
folks.
Yes, every time you hear Allie say you guys, you take a shot.
You're gonna be... I apologize to your liver. You're gonna be wasted by the end. But just so you know, Casey, when discussing the nose-hanging-out people, did a little Hitler mustache with his finger there for a second. So I was very confused. I was like, the Hitlers? So anyway, continuing on. Yes, we don't like those people. Guys, that doesn't... I didn't say you in front of it. It doesn't work. It kind of defeats the purpose. Not entirely, but a lot, if you have it under your nose. It's kind of like if you're walking around with underwear and your dick's hanging out. Just don't do it. It's just not great. Mm-hmm. Anyway, sorry, continue. So people were, some of them were using their masks and some were not.
Yes, thankfully most were.
Good.
And because it was so hot, unfortunately not a whole lot of activity, mm-hmm. but I did finally get to see the little leopard cubs.
Oh, I haven't seen them. They look so cute.
Yes. We were standing there for quite a while because mm-hmm. my mom was waiting for the cubs to roll over so she'd get a picture of her face.
Aww.
Yeah, my mom likes cats.
Well, we all like cats. They're wonderful.
Yes. And then after that, we got into a discussion about whether or not to go up the hill, because it's a fairly steep hill, up Bear Canyon,
yeah.
or to go the other way around back towards the bridge and then work our way down after going around, you know, Elephant Odyssey and all that.
Okay. And everyone who's not from San Diego and is not familiar with the San Diego Zoo, sorry.
Yeah.
You
no way
no
for you
idea
to know
what
I'm talking,
what we're talking
about.
About.
Basically, we were discussing whether or not to go an incline or take a much longer route.
Yes. Yes. There a lot of the San Diego Zoo is very hilly and has some decently steep inclines. And then they put in what I call the lazy American. What is it called? The way up? No, that's a hike. The main trail? There's some new...
It has a name?
Yeah, it does. Because now they didn't used to have the bridge. So the bridge connects over to Elephant Odyssey and you can get everywhere without having to go up a big hill. Anyway, we digress. So sorry. But the point is, it is a lot of the routes in the zoo are very hilly. And on a hot day, you just don't want to do that. So basically, you were trying to decide if you were going to go up a hill or take a longer, easier path.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
And after a long discussion, we went up the hill.
Okay. You committed.
Yes. And I noticed when we went to the bear enclosures,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I did get to see the baby Andy and Bear, thankfully.
Oh my gosh, I want to see it so bad.
Yes, they were all wiped out though, because it was so hot.
Yeah.
But I noticed that when we went over there, they no longer had the Teddy Graham signs.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. So quick backstory, folks. We were there, it was before COVID, so I don't know, a year ago, maybe just like 9 months ago or something.
Yeah.
I don't remember when it was. But we went up the bear alley? What is that called? You just said it.
Bear Canyon.
Bear Canyon, thank you. We went up the Bear Canyon, and they had, I think it was the Andean Bears. It may have been some other ones, too.
I'm pretty sure it was Andean Bears.
I think it was the Andean Bears. And it has their little, you know, description of what they are and where they're from and everything. And then next to it says, sponsored by Teddy Grahams. And we see this, which makes sense, because they're bears, right? But we see this, and now, as an adult, I now want Teddy Grahams. And Casey did too, and we were like, oh my gosh, now we so want Teddy Grahams. I'm not kidding you, everyone. I almost said guys. We looked at pretty much every store and food little cart everywhere throughout the zoo. No Teddy Grahams to be found. So just imagine a parent with like an 8-year-old child, and that is eye level. It's like what the convenience stores do and put the candy kid eye level so that they buy things. Could you imagine having an 8-year-old kid who's now obsessed with wanting Teddy Grahams and you cannot get them? So I feel like it was just bad choices on the zoo's part to have this Teddy Graham thing and then not have anywhere to get them. And I wonder if enough parents complained or if they just stopped paying them is probably what happened. But I like to think that enough parents complained that their kids threw temper tantrums because they could not get Teddy Grahams.
Yes, I was one of them. By the way, I think it's General Mills that owns them. If anyone from there happens to be listening, I would be a proud... very proud if you sponsored us.
I also would like Teddy Grahams. Teddy Grahams are also great for when you make s'mores. We all know s'mores. Beautiful, wonderful tradition. I like to make mini s'mores. So you take Teddy Grahams and then you take the normal Hershey chocolate bar and you break one of those little like rectangles in half. And then you get one of the little marshmallows, which is challenging to toast because it's an art. And then you have little mini bite size s'more, and then because it takes you so long to make it, you don't eat as many, and you consume less calories. So, try that next get-together, folks. But yeah, Teddy Grahams, we would be very happy to have you sponsor us. Also, I wouldn't mind just getting some free Teddy Grahams if you want to send it. We'll just keep pushing your product. It's pretty great. What's your favorite? I like just the classic.
Yeah, I like the classic honey.
Classic honey Teddy Grahams. Classic honey Teddy Grahams, please. General Mills.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
But until then, we will be unofficially sponsored by Teddy Grahams.
Yes. Well, I did not get to go to the zoo. I wish, because they have so many cute little babies. I went a while ago and saw a little baby pygmy hippo. He is...
He wasn't out that day.
So cute, and I love him so much. But, and I haven't seen the baby Andean bear.
I still haven't seen the baby river hippo in person yet. I see it on the live cam, but every time I've been there, it's the adult male that's out.
Also, I think it was that same last time we were together. Mm-hmm. I think you said it was probably the Andean male teddy bear. Now I'm saying Teddy Grahams, so that's in my head. But the Andean bear was doing airplane turns.
Yeah.
Which, if you are not familiar with what an airplane turn is, basically you focus your eyes on your target. It's not really a target, but whatever your spot is. And you turn your body so your head pretty much stays. Obviously, it rotates, but it's just like a straight... I'm going to have to apparently post what an airplane turn is or something because it makes no sense. But anyway, it was really amazing to see a bear do an airplane turn. Speaking of ridiculous animal movements, I again was watching the Disney Plus, but not documentaries this time. I needed to take a break. I actually decided I would go back and watch some of the classics from my childhood because there were some movies, you know, when you're a kid you just watch like 3 movies on repeat endlessly.
Yeah.
And back in the day it was VHS, folks.
Oh.
And VHS. I remember my parents going outside to do yard work and stuff, and it was 101 Dalmatians, people. This is my main one. And I think I must have watched that movie like 8 times in one day. And every time like my dad would come back in after a while and be like, oh, what do you want to watch? And I'd be like, again, 101 Dalmatians. And like after like the 6th time, he's just like, really? I'm like, yes, it's so great. So anyway, I watched 101 Dalmatians. Somehow forgot they were in England, but that's fine. Yeah, they all have English accents.
I do not remember
that. I didn't remember that either. It's so weird to me. I did not remember that part. But everything else about that movie, I remembered. I'm like, oh, this is the part where the snow drips on them and the soot goes away. And then they, Jasper and Horace, see that they're the Dalmatians. Also, why you wouldn't, like, I don't know why. Multiple things. So they never refer to a dog by its name, usually. There are a couple dogs they do. They mostly call them by their breed. So that's like, oh, the Great Dane on Havenshire Place or whatever it is. And then they're like, oh, there's a lab in whatever this one town is that's going to help you out. And so they all get disguised in the soot. So they look like labs, which also apparently a Dalmatian that has no spots looks like a lab. I don't think so, but no. Sure. Okay. We're going with that. And then Horace and Jasper, and at this point, Cruella, they're all driving around this little town, and none of them think it's weird that there's a shit ton of just little lab puppies that are the same size as the Dalmatians they just had. There's nothing weird about that. Also, Cruella is clearly the worst villain ever, aside from the Hunter and Bambi. But, like all the other villains, they have a point. There's some background thing for them. It makes sense, right? Ursula has some beef, and Scar has some beef. Hades is pretty cool for the most part. And Cruella's just evil. She just wants to kill these puppies. And I didn't catch this as a kid. For six coats. She was only going to make six coats. And she's so mean and crazy. But anyway, I digress. But yeah, so Dalmatians totally holds up. Great movie. Love it. Let's see. I also watched Robin Hood. Love it. I have not watched either of those since I was a child. And I basically still have the whole thing memorized.
I have seen that movie, like, only once.
Oh, it was one of my favorites. Although I realized that the sizing, we just accept the anthropomorphized foxes and bears and everybody, right? But I realized that Robin Hood and Marian, they're both foxes. And fox, here we go again, just kidding. and then John and Richard. So John and Richard are lions. Mm-hmm. And Robin and Marian are foxes. The foxes are almost the same size as the lions. That is a terrifyingly large fox. That is like a dire fox. It's so big. But it's fine. And then the fox and rabbits get along really well because he's not eating them, which is great. But anyway, so yeah, that movie's fantastic. Love Robin Hood. Also watched Rescuers Down Under. And I just love Disney animal physics. It's the best. So there's this giant golden eagle that this small child can ride on. Although I kind of think she's supposed to be like a folk tale type thing. So maybe she is a really giant eagle. We'll let that slide. But this is, of course, the Rescuers, Bernard and Bianca. Also did not know that Bianca was Hungarian. Yeah. And is voiced by Eva Gabor, Zsa Zsa Gabor's sister. Anywho. And then you have Bernard, of course. So the kid, of course, gets into trouble. That's what they do. And he's in, at one point, he's in this river with crocodiles and everything, right? They're going to eat him. And Bernard manages to get a rope around him and then wrap it around a branch and hold it with his little tiny mice hands, his little mouse hands. And I just love the physics that a mouse is able to, A, hold a human-sized rope with their little hands, and then hold the weight of a small child in a rushing river, because there's a waterfall coming up, because of course there is. So yes, he's able to use his little tiny mouse hands to hold this rope with this child's weight in the rushing water. And we just hand wave that. It's fine. It's Disney. It's cool. All these things you just don't realize when you're a little kid, you know? And then you grow up and you're like, this makes zero sense, but I'm fine with the animals talking. I accept all of that. That's all great. And singing and doing choreo, that's all fine. But the physics things, I'm just like, how does that work out? Speaking of getting older and realizing things you didn't notice when you were a child. So again, 101 Dalmatians, one of my favorite movies ever. And I remember distinctly telling my dad on the way to school or something one day that when I was an adult, I was probably trying to convince him to get another dog. We always had dogs and cats growing up, but I was probably convincing him to try to get another one. And I said, well, when I'm a grown-up, I'm going to have 101 dogs. And when you're a kid, of course you are. That makes all of the sense. You have your job. You're going to do everything. You don't think about bills and all these other things. And then you grow up, and I don't currently have a dog.
Because, neither do I.
No, you just, they're, well, you have to have the lifestyle for them. Because a lot of people get dogs who shouldn't have dogs because they don't have the right lifestyle. I don't have the right lifestyle. And with pets, it's always, it's not the maintenance, it's the potential vet bills that'll get you. Mm-hmm. You just never know. So eventually I want to get a dog again because I love dogs. Dogs are the best, but...
Dogs are too much work for me.
Wow.
I'm more cat.
I'm sorry.
I'm a cat people.
You're Mr. Reptile dude, and those are a lot of work.
Yeah, but they are not needy like dogs.
How dare you? I love dogs, listeners. Mm-hmm. I love dogs and cats evenly. A lot of people will say, like, are you a dog person or are you a cat person? Obviously, Casey is a cat person.
Kitties rule the world.
Okay. But I like them both. I love them both. I also say you can love Star Wars and Star Trek. You don't have to choose. You can love both of them.
I disagree.
Well, we can disagree to disagree. That's not real. We can agree to disagree. Cats are easier though, for sure. So it's an easier pet to have. But I digress. So speaking of learning new things, we figured it would be helpful if Casey gave us a basic biology breakdown once in a while. Get some real education in there, not just some knowledge about a couple specific animals. And since we like to choose from categories of animals when it comes to our favorite dogs or cats or battle beasts, we're going to start with a basic intro to biology classification. Take it away, Casey.
Alrighty. So if any of you have ever gone onto Wikipedia to search any kind of animal, you will notice a long list of names that probably make absolutely no sense to you on the side.
I feel like that's probably accurate, yep.
Yeah. So basically, that gets down to basic classification. And I do mean basic because I've had to learn the steps that are in between those classifications. And that gets really complicated.
I believe you.
Yes. So, one of the great things that you learn, really anything, is using mnemonic device to remember stuff.
Oh, no.
Okay. And this is one of my favorites.
Yes.
Yes. It is, did King Philip come over for great sex?
That seems like it can't be right in an educational institution.
But it is. Yeah, I learned it from a zoology professor. She's a Fruit Loop like me, and I miss her so much.
Aww. Yeah. I feel like maybe
Did King Philip.
Philip.
Come over for great sex.
Did King Philip come over for great soundscapes? I'm trying to make this, well, our podcast is not PG, but, you know, if you didn't
want to. She changed it to soup halfway.
Okay, that's good too. We'll go with that. All right, perfect. Continue. Sorry.
All right, so basically when you go from the did is for domain, the king is for kingdom.
Okay.
The Philip is for phylum.
All right.
The come is for class.
Okay.
Over is order. Four is family. Great is genus. And soup is species, although that's how a lot of people will say it, although technically it is specific epithet, because that is just the last part of a scientific name that you will often hear me say that sounds just like gibberish.
Okay, so we're going to go with species to keep that simple. I already feel like I forgot it. So, let's see. Play along with me. Anyone who, like, knows their bio is just like, oh my gosh, just move on, lady. Like, we don't get it. Okay. Did.
Was domain.
Thank you. Domain. Oops. King for kingdom.
Yes.
Philip, because he's my favorite Disney prince. Okay. Philip is phylum.
Yes.
Phylum. Did King Philip come class?
Yep.
Over order?
Yep.
For family.
Yes.
Good. Good soup. Great soup. Yep. Good genus.
Yep.
Soup. Species.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Continue. Trying to practice.
So basically how you work down from this category is the top is the most broad classification. And basically that encumbers a whole bunch of different organisms. So when you were ever to look at this classification in any kind of pictogram or something like that, it looks like an upside down triangle, like you would see with a pyramid scheme.
Okay.
And the further you go down,
yeah,
is the more specific. I'll give an example.
Okay.
One animal that is pretty recognizable is a brown bear. Its species name is Ursus arctos, and its domain is Eukarya. And basically that breaks down to the kind of cell an organism is. There's only three. There's Eukarya, that's all eukaryotic cells. That's the really complicated ones that you should have learned in basic biology by now. Hopefully.
I probably did. It's just been a long time, so.
Then there's bacteria and archaea. I will say archaea always. I'm pretty sure it's technically archaea.
Okay.
They're like bacteria, except they're technically more closely related to us. But that's too complex for me to explain.
Okay.
And then in kingdom, it's Animalia. Self-explanatory, that's animals.
Yes. What are the other kingdoms?
There's Plantae, Fungi. And then there's this, I call it a junk drawer, is what most scientists will also refer to it, of a kingdom called Protista.
Oh, okay.
And that's because that refers to basically everything that's not a plant, an animal, or fungi.
Okay.
It's really, I think it breaks up into like actually 17 or more
different
kingdoms.
Okay.
But that's very complicated, so they just...
That makes sense. It's a junk drawer. That's why it's a junk drawer. Okay, yeah, cool.
Because they're not really related to each other.
Cool.
And then after that is the phylum, which is Chordata. And this one basically comes down to when we're embryo for most animals in this group, because there's this thing called a notochord, which basically becomes your spine during development. Every animal in this group has a notochord at some point in its life. And then next is class. That is mammalia. Obvious mammals. And one key characteristic is all mammals produce milk for the offspring. Then there's also technically at some point they all have hair.
I was going to say it was hair, right? So yeah. The other ones of those would be like reptile and fish, stuff like that, right?
Yeah, but it gets a bit more complicated.
But it's not just reptile or fish. It's going to be some more difficult name to pronounce.
Well, that's a problem with classification. Sometimes, like, reptilia is still used in some regards. But in modern classification, it's not very useful because that's what's called a paraphyletic group, which means, yeah, it's complicated terms now.
I should not ask these questions and make it more.
What a paraphyletic group basically means is that a monophyletic group is one that includes all the most recent common ancestor and all of its descendants, whereas paraphyletic does not include all the descendants of that common ancestor.
Oh, okay.
Reptiles would be an example, because then there's also birds, mammals, and birds and mammals.
Okay.
So a monophyletic group would be amniotes, which is basically organisms that have an amniotic egg. Yeah, basically one that's not like a tadpole.
like a tadpole.
Yeah, mammals have it. It's just in their uterus.
Okay.
Yeah. Then there's order, which is carnivora. Very basically, it's a lot of carnivores. I'm not going to get into the specific classification or distinguishing characteristics for that group, because there's animals outside of this group that
there's
are not
an
that
exception,
are
I feel like, yeah.
Carnivores, and then there's ones in the group like bears, for example, that are omnivores. And then, yeah, that gets a bit more complicated. Then there's the family, which is Ursidae. That's the bear family.
Okay.
And then the bear family has a bunch of different groups that fall underneath it. And that's the genus, which for brown bears is Ursus. And then specific epithet is Arctos. And the scientific name is always the genus and the species. Air quotes. And so if you're doing it by scientific classification, its name is Ursus Arctos.
Ursus Arctos, because the Arctos is the species name?
Yeah, that's a specific epithet. Which basically just gets named by whoever
discovers them.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, I want to discover something just to make some ridiculous name.
I had an anthropology professor that told me if she ever discovered a hominin species, she... Oh my gosh, what was her name now?
Oh, I was like, her personal name? You mean her name
she was going to call it? Yeah, she was... I can't remember her last name now. She was going to name it... her name, Iensis, or something like that.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But,
so,
yeah.
For Brown Bear, it would be that first one I already forgot, but I think Cordata was the second?
Cordata is the third.
Okay. I already forgot a lot of them. Remember,
did King Philip
right.
come
so the did was something suit? That separated the weird bacteria type thing, right? Okay. So, what was that one called?
Domain.
Okay, so domain, but what is the domain for?
It's
the
bear? Eukarya.
Okay, so a brown bear is Eukarya.
Mm-hmm.
Not Cordata. It was something above that. I don't know. You're gonna have to.
Animalia.
Animalia. Okay, or so the kingdom. Okay, so I already forgot the first one again. Good. Eukarya.
Eukarya.
Eukarya, Animalia, Cordata.
Yes.
Did King Philip come? Class is Carnivora.
Mammalia.
Ah, dang, Mammalia. Come over as order, that's Carnivora, right?
Yes.
Okay. Already forgotten all the Carnivora order. Over four is family. Mm-hmm. Eurydus?
Ursidae.
Ursidae. Wow. Doing great, you guys. Ursidae, family, four, good. Genus, that was the... we just said that and I've already forgotten it. It makes me think of unicorn, but Eurus? Nope.
Very close. Ursus.
Ursus. And I forgot the last one, too.
Arctos.
Arctos. It sounds like a spell.
Yeah. And if you want to get even more specific, grizzly bear is a subspecies of brown bear.
Oh.
In which case, it's Ursus Arctos Horribilis.
Okay, that's awesome to say, but I would never remember that. Okay, so then what would like a German Shepherd be? Then how does that work for dogs? Because there's German Shepherds, labs, all that kind of thing. Does that factor in, or are they just...
So all different kinds of domestic dogs are the same species, so okay. They get the same scientific name. There's two ways to do that. There's like I did with the grizzly bear as a subspecies, which would be Canis lupus familiaris in case for domestic dog, or if some would classify it as a separate species, in which case it would be Canis familiaris.
Oh, weird. Because is lupus more specific to, like, wolves?
Yeah, that's wolves.
Okay.
Yeah, and then there's debate on whether or not they're just a subspecies of wolves or if they're their own family.
Their own
species now.
So, okay, so a German Shepherd and a Pomeranian have the same scientific name.
Correct.
That is amazing.
Yep.
Well, speaking of dogs, folks, now I'm just going to switch to folks. It's like every episode I'm going to change my... I don't even know what that's called, but my guys is going to go to folks and it's going to be like peeps and who knows. Speaking of since last week I brought up, right, that I looked up the correct plural for giraffe, either way. I also, in our little challenge, the only animal I know of that starts with an X was the Sholo Eats Queenly. Now I can do it without having to look. Yay. Which is a breed of dog. So another thing we want to do on the podcast, we don't just love our wild animals here. We also love our domestic dogs, cats, bunnies, all of those things. So occasionally we want to kind of just introduce people to a dog breed that they might not know a bunch about or just some fun facts about breeds maybe you are familiar with. So I figured we would start with the Sholo Eats Queenly. It's just fun to say. also known, you can call them a Sholo for short, or they're also known as the Mexican hairless dog. So they're found mostly in Mexico, and they come in three varieties. You can get them in the toy, the miniature, and the standard, and they also come in hairless and coated, I believe is what it's called, non-hairless. Kind of like a Chinese crested, because they have the hairless, and then they have the, what do they call that, like, it's not fluffy, it's something weird. Anyway, doesn't matter. That's not the dog we're focusing on. So, yes, so the toys... come in at about 10 to 14 inches high, and they're about 10 to 15 pounds. So if you want a really little, like, Chihuahua-y size, that's actually even kind of big for a Chihuahua, but, you know, a Dachshund-y size dog, go with a toy if you want it. The miniatures are about 14 to 18 inches high and about 15 to 30 pounds. And then the standards are about 18 to 23 inches high and come in around 30 to 55 pounds. These dogs are also good dogs if you have allergies to dogs. So maybe consider that if you want a dog and you have allergies. Their life expectancy is 13 to 18 years, Which I'm wondering if the 13 is for the little ones. Or I mean, sorry, switch that. The 18 is for the little ones and the 13 is for the standard size, because usually the bigger the dog, the shorter the life expectancy.
Well, that's if you go on to the extreme end. Those that are more in the middle tend to have the longest lifespan. Because there's going to be more intensive breeding for those larger sizes, and the especially ones. For the toy breeds.
Because those are so popular with purse dogs and stuff, which is crazy.
They're massively inbred in order
Big dogs, real dogs, as I refer to them. Although, I also like little dogs, too. But I grew up in the boonies, and little dogs are coyote food. So, even if you have a big dog to accompany your little dog, it's still going to be coyote food, guys. So anyway, yeah, and according to the AKC, they are known for being loyal, alert, and calm. So I love that they are alert and calm, so they're not going to freak out immediately, I guess. And just in case you want to know what group they belong to if you're watching a dog show, they are in the non-sporting group. And this, I have to pretty much read this to you directly from AKC because it kind of cracked me up, you guys. So some of this we've somewhat gone over, but bear with me, the end is worth it. So, I already told you they come in the three sizes, right? They have the hairless and the coated. The hairless has tough, smooth, close-fitting skin. I don't know why it's close-fitting. Why would it be far away? That's weird. And the coated variety is covered by a short, flat coat. Both varieties come in dark colors, ranging from black, gray-black, and slate. Isn't slate just like a gray-black?
I think so.
I feel like that's getting a little...
I think it is a bit of a tannish color.
Next episode, apparently we're going to have to check our colors, guys. Oh, I did it! Sorry, take a drink! and slate, sorry. Red, liver, or bronze as well. Ooh, I want a bronze dog. That sounds cool. Okay, guys, this is... This is why I had to read this specifically to you. The face is thoughtful and intelligent. And Azolo's forehead will wrinkle when he's deep in thought. I love that. How do they know that? They don't know what the dog... Well, maybe he's thinking about...
What are they thinking about?
Though? I don't know. But apparently they think they're deep in thought. And they finish that out by saying, the Zolo's graceful, elegant body is surprisingly strong and rugged. I don't know why that'd be surprising. Like, their Dalmatians are also strong and they're slender. Anyway. So, yes. So, these little guys are... Well, sort of little guys are really cool looking. It's not something I've ever seen in person, but if you've seen the movie Coco, which I haven't because I don't want to cry, and I've been told how sad that movie is.
I've watched it. It's a great movie. You should watch it.
Everyone says it's great, but it's sad, and I don't want to cry. So, I'll get
crying
to it.
Crying is good for you.
No, I had enough crying last year. I will get to it eventually. But yeah, so the dog, though, Dante, I believe is his name, in Coco, he is a Sholo. So there you go. That's kind of what it looks like. That's Pixar version, but I feel like it's actually pretty accurate. And then just for some history on them, again, this is coming from AKC, they are national treasures in Mexico with a history that goes back at least, how many years do you think, Casey?
I want to say 4,000.
Ooh, overshot it by a bit, but close, 3,000.
Dang it.
3,000 years. And mentions of these strange hairless dogs appear in the journals of Columbus and other European explorers. Ancient Aztecs named the breed for their dog-headed god. I'm going to mispronounce this. I'm trying my best. Xolotl. That cannot be right. Xolotl. Anyone who can say that correctly, please let me know. I tried looking it up, but that was as close as I got, and I feel like that's still wrong. Anyway, so that was named for their dog-headed god, I should say. And they were considered sacred by the Aztecs, and often, unfortunately, I feel like as the Aztecs did a lot of this, as we all learned in school, were sacrificed and buried alongside their owners to serve as protective guides to the next world. And in modern times, you guys... So those are dedicated watchdogs and companions, according to the AKC. Also, if you don't know what that is, I just realized people might not know what the AKC is. It's American Kennel Club. So, yep. So they know their breeds. Also, quick mention from the AKC. I do get a lot of people who might look for specific breeds of dogs that they want. I always recommend going, and I haven't checked their site in a while, but they used to have a link that was really handy. And you could search by breed, and you could search rescue groups. You didn't even have to go find a breeder. So, and you can search rescue groups by state. So, good luck finding a Sholo. I'm guessing they are not common. probably not going to find a rescue group for those. But most dogs, you can find it.
And there was something like petfinder.com or something like that.
Yeah, there's Petfinder too, but Petfinder is just like all adoptions. I feel like those are also just like some rando person in their house is like, I have this dog, which is fine. I love mutts. Mutts are the best, but I don't know. Also, quick note, people, don't buy dogs off Craigslist and stuff, especially don't pay for them. Because people buy them and they think it's like some, it's not bred well, it's not taken care of, and then they have health issues, and why? Go to a pound. Especially if you want a Chihuahua or a Pit Mix. You will have no trouble finding them. But if you do, if you see a Sholo and you're like, that is the dog for me, also just so that no one can pronounce it, good luck. Because could you imagine someone coming up to you like, oh, what kind of dog is that? And you just rattle that off and they're just like, oh... Okay.
I've seen some dogs I've never heard of before.
Yeah, so it'd be great. But so their exercise requirements vary. When they're younger, they want more. When they're older, they're a little more chill. And as far as grooming and those kind of habits go, they have an easy care short coat requiring only occasional brushing. And this is obviously for the coated type, the hairless. You don't need to brush. That'd be weird. And this I found a little bit funny. I have not heard of this in dogs before. Adult dogs require minimal grooming, while younger dogs may suffer from adolescent acne when the skin may need special care. So I guess they're like people, and they have acne. That's so sad. Poor little dogs, like going through, I wonder if their little voice changes, their little bark, like change in pitch too. Poor puppies. And then if you do have a hairless variety, they will need sunscreen if they're going to have prolonged exposure to direct sun. So that is the Sholo Eats Quaintly. That's right. Now you know how to say that. I should probably break that down for you, but I'm not going to because I'm mean. I've said it like 3 times. I believe in you.
And just want to send out a quick reminder. August is the Clear the Shelters event. So if you want one, go ahead and adopt a cute little pup or kitten.
Definitely. Adopt, don't shop. And adopt older ones, too. They don't have to be puppies or kittens.
I know, but all I've seen lately is my sister wants a cat, so I've been looking at cats like a bunch of younger ones. Well, not like, well, it's still young, but yeah. Like she wants something at least 2 years old or younger.
Right.
Because she also wants to train it to walk on a leash and take it to the beach.
I've been trying. It has not been going well. And we recently adopted a cat, and she is a little over a year now, and she's a lot. She's a lot, and I remind myself, do you want kittens again? Maybe try to get a cat that's like 3. That's my suggestion. Get a cat that's 3. I'm trying to train her, but she's not going for it.
And remember the senior pets. I saw a lot that were like 10 and 11 years old.
Yeah, they need homes too. The only problem is they're a little more expensive to maintain. But if you can, do it, because they are great. And kitties can go 20 years, even longer. So they're pretty great. Speaking of cats, I hope you're ready for this, Casey.
Oh, good Lord.
What do you call it when a cat wins first place at a dog show?
I have no clue.
A cat has trophy. I love it so much. It's the best ever. Oh my gosh. Anyway, so yeah, Sholo Eats Quaintlys. They are they're very rare dogs. So what is the least common breed you've seen in person?
At least for the ones I can remember their name, probably the least common was a Rhodesian Ridgeback.
Are you serious? I had a Ridgeback mix.
Really?
Yes. Oh. They're not that rare.
I have almost never seen them.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That blows my mind.
But you know what's weird is when I worked at my old job, I would hardly ever see poodles. And then I changed locations and I started seeing them all the time.
Really?
Yes.
There are
like
different,
every other dog.
There are definitely different breeds in different areas.
Mm-hmm.
When I lived up in Orange County, I'd see Farrow Hounds. I love Farrow Hounds. I don't think I've seen any down in San Diego, but I love them. They're kind of like Sholos. They're, when you see statues of dogs with Farrows and stuff, they're Farrow Hounds. They're so cool. Those guys are awesome. Also, because you said Rhodesian Ridgeback, fun fact, I feel like Ridgebacks and Pit Mixes, Staffordshire Terrier, however you want to call them, Pit Mixes. We're just going with the generic, guys. Did it again. Drink up. They have killer tails. Have you ever experienced either a pit or a ridgeback tail hitting you when they're happy and excited?
No, but I do remember being whacked by a Great Dane.
That would hurt too. But yeah, pits and ridgebacks have these, their tails are so strong and they get really happy, and especially pitties. They just get so excited and they're just all the energy and their tails is going crazy. It hurts. You will have bruises. When we had my ridgeback mix, I had this dollhouse that my uncle's mom had made for me. And it was beautiful and has beautiful awning and everything. And our dog got so excited. He's walking by it, wagging his tail, and he hit it and just broke the awning clean off the dog. Out of the dollhouse. I was like, oh no. But yeah, so if you ever get a pitty or a pit mix or a ridgeback mix, look out for that tail. It's going to bruise you. They're rough. But yeah, that's amazing. But yeah, that's interesting about seeing different breeds, different places. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've only seen the Faroe Hounds up in Orange County. I've seen a Bazenji down here. Those are kind of rare.
I've seen a few Bazenjis.
Yeah, so those are cool. I have also, other ones I've seen only random times, very few times, Keese Hounds. And the look
Never
I'm getting.
Never heard that one.
They're, what would you say? They're kind of like Havanese. They're not really like Havanese. They're about the same size as a Havanese, which you're probably also like, what's a Havanese? Think of a bigger Pomeranian, I guess. I don't know how to describe that very well. But Keese Hounds, yeah, they're kind of cool. They're like Cocker Spaniel sized. And then Skipper Keys. Oh my gosh, they're so cute. Do you know what a Skipper Key is?
No.
They kind of look like a mix between like a Pomeranian and like an Eskimo, a little American Eskimo dog, but they're black. As far as I know, they only come in black. They're so cute. They're so, so cute. But I think my favorite of those is the Faroe Hound. I definitely wanted to get a Faroe Hound for a while. But yeah. So speaking of favorites, sometimes we discuss our favorite animals, like our battle beasts and our formal beasts. And what favorite animal should we discuss this week?
You know, I feel like I'm in a killer mood, so...
That is so cheesy!
I want to be funny, too!
I love it! Okay, great. Great.
So this week, I decide we're doing birds of prey.
Oh, yay! I already know my answer.
All right.
So my favorite bird of prey is also just my favorite bird because they're amazing. And I actually looked into them a little bit and they're even more amazing folks. When you find out their scientific name, oh my gosh. Okay. So the secretary bird is my favorite bird. They're pretty big. They kind of look like, I feel like the hippogriff in Harry Potter would be based off of. Am I even thinking of the right Harry Potter animal? Is it a hippogriff or is it a griffin? I think it'd be a hippogriff.
It's a hippogriff.
Yeah, it's a hippogriff, right. Yeah, yeah. I think it's kind of, it reminds me of a secretary bird a bit. Anyway, their scientific name. Sagittarius serpentarius. That is so a spell. And apparently they're associated with Sagittarius. Is there an animal associated with Leo? Are lions associated with Leos? I don't know. What about Capricorns? You guys, this is
Did you just say Leo?
Yes.
Panthera Leo?
Well, as in lion? I don't know the scientific name. Whatever. But that's the second name, not the first name. So, whatever. Maybe there's like Capricornus, Conundrus, I don't know,
well,
for something.
Actually, I'm pretty sure they all are based on some Latin name. Because there is a group of crabs where their genus name is Cancer.
That's awesome. We're going to have to look into this at some point and yeah, find out more about that. But anyway, I digress as usual. So Sagittarius serpentarius, love it. And that means archer of snakes. Also, I think I'm going to name my next D&D character after that because that's just amazing. So when I'm saying these guys are tall, they're pretty tall. They're at about 4 to almost 5 feet tall. And they are the tallest of the raptor species. They are considered raptors because why are they considered, because they're carnivores? They're hunters. They're birds of prey. That's what it is. They're birds of prey. That's what it comes down to. And their wingspan, get this, guys, 6.9 feet long. That is way taller than me. That is taller than most people I've ever met, although I have met, I think that's even taller than the tallest people I've met. And they weigh in anywhere from 5 to 9.4 pounds. And they specialize in hunting snakes. So basically they stump them to death. And they do have one at, actually they have them at the zoo and at the, I refuse to say that name, natives will call the, I'm not even going to say it, that one park, the wild animal park.
She refuses to say the name Safari Park.
I hate that name so much. Yes, it's the wild animal park. It will always be the wild animal park. The San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Wild Animal Park. Screw that new name. Hate it. It's been here for like a decade now, but I hate it. Anyway, they have them at both locations, and I think I've only seen them do it at the park. And it's so funny because sometimes there'll be sticks from the trees that fall down and they think it's a snake. And suddenly the bird is just stomping on the snake. And it's, so it's kind of interesting to watch. That's how they would kill, that's how they would kill their snakes.
Yeah, in the bird show, they also occasionally bring one out with a fake snake on a lure.
That's amazing. To stomp them. I never watch the shows because I have a membership. So I go all the time and just go for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Also, you guys. Drink up. Everyone's going to be wasted. We're like not even halfway through and people
please
are going to be wasted.
Please let us know if you remember anything.
I don't know why I've done this. That's a great thing about recording a podcast. You realize things you say all of the time that you shouldn't. But yes, they're amazing. They're listed as vulnerable, so not that we can really do much to help them out here, but there's always donating to conservation groups and everything. But yeah, that's my favorite bird, the secretary bird. They're so cool. I feel like I'm now going to refer to them, though. Let's see if I can do it without having to look at it. Sagittarius serpentarius.
There you go.
Yes! And what is your favorite bird of prey, Casey?
Yes, and I specified bird of prey this week because I cannot pick a favorite bird. And just to specify, a bird of prey is by definition a bird that primarily hunt and feed on vertebrates that are large relative to the hunter.
Okay.
And yes, I got that from Google.
Yeah, okay.
And my favorite bird of prey is the harpy eagle.
What's special about them?
Well, they are one of the largest, and I find them particularly cool for a kind of messed up reason.
Okay.
It's because the prey they hunt is small mammals, but can include monkeys and sloths.
Not the sloths!
Yes, the sloths, unfortunately.
That's so mean!
Yeah.
I feel like that'd be really easy to catch, too.
Yeah, but sloths are actually pretty well camouflaged, because
they
move so slow that algae grows on their fur.
Oh, the little sloths.
Yeah. And they're not that fast, technically, for birds of prey, because they only fly at 50 miles per
like
hour.
Like, only 100? Wow. Yeah.
Whereas peregrine falcons have been clocked at, like, over 150 miles per
hour. Aren't
those
the fastest land animal?
Yeah, peregrine falcons are the fastest species of bird. But they cheat because they use gravity.
That's true.
Harpy eagles. Eagles. They actually will never really fly above the canopy. They are very maneuverable and swoosh and swish through the trees.
That's the technical. That's the technical term.
Swoosh and swish is the technical term, people. Yeah, and they're very agile. Really large, too, in terms of weight. They can be like 8 to 12 pounds.
Oh, wow. That's pretty heavy for a bird.
Yeah. Especially...
That's heavier than my freaking secretary bird that's super tall.
Yeah. They kind of have to be because they go after a larger prey.
That's true, I guess.
And birds can only carry off prey that's usually around half their weight, typically.
Okay.
Probably even less so. Because they are very frail, kind of, because they have very thin, hollowish bones.
Yeah.
Yeah, hollow bones. I don't know why I put the ish.
I was like, aren't they hollow bones?
So they get, and that's so they can fly easily. And that leaves them vulnerable to injury. They are listed as near threatened, thankfully, but their populations are in decline due to deforestation. And just as a little fun fact, it is the national bird of Panama.
All right, go Panama.
Yes, and they did indeed get their name from the Greek half-bird, half-woman monsters, harpies.
Oh, that's interesting.
Although I think it's technically pronounced, if you go by the correct Greek pronunciation, harpia. Because their scientific name is Harpia harpia.
Harpia harpia.
It's spelled weird, so I'm trying to include the ya.
So if you speak Greek, help us out.
They also have a wingspan about the same as the secretary birds.
Really?
Yes. Except they're affected flyers.
Okay, that was a direct diss toward my bird.
And of course I'm kidding. Secretary birds actually can fly.
But I feel like you never really see them fly. I mean, given where we see them, you wouldn't.
Well, yeah, but it's not really effective for them unless they need to go a large distance. Cause
that's true.
They flying just, takes energy.
It does, and they just stomp on snakes. So I feel like a lot of people would like secretary birds, and so many people don't like snakes. But snakes are cool.
Snakes are awesome. And yes, I own a snake. She's my little baby.
Oh, is she your little baby?
Yes.
My cat is my little baby, so. Your snake messes with my cat will win.
Probably.
Whoa. I already had to do, the other night she actually, a bee got in the house and she was chasing and batting something around. I'm like, what are you, and with this cat, young cats, it's like having a toddler. I say that even though I've never had a toddler, but I've experienced toddlers and you just have to constantly be like, what's in your mouth? So she's attacking something, and I go and get her back. And it's a bee. It's a honeybee. And I'm like, don't attack the bee. A, don't kill it. B, don't get stung. I don't need your bee. Don't get stung.
Good Lord.
You don't want your little mouth popping up at, late at night. I'm like, oh, this cost me a fortune. So I had to do the cup and paper technique to take the bee outside. So I don't know if he survived, but it, she, anyway.
Probably she. Well, we have, like, a lot of bee species here in California. There's, like, over 600. In this state alone.
We are very fancy.
Yeah.
As are other places, though.
There's also just a ton of bees.
We do a lot of agriculture, so.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
And actually, most of those bees are probably solitary. Majority of bee species are actually solitary. There's only a few that actually are eusocial and live in hives.
Wow. Did not know that. Well, someday we're going to get into bees, obviously, because apparently there's a lot to look into there.
And they don't all make honey. Because apparently that's the only thing people care about a lot.
Oh, they pollinate. We care about them because they pollinate.
Yes.
Okay. Well, so those are our favorite birds. So favorite bird for me, secretary bird. Favorite bird for Casey, harpy eagle.
Yep.
Loving that. Well, to continue. Bird of prey. Sorry, I didn't specify. Favorite bird of prey for me, secretary bird or Sagittarius serpentarius. And favorite bird for Casey, favorite bird of prey for Casey, harpy eagle. And to continue our avian theme, it is time for our animal of the week. And this week's is the cock of the rock. That is right. That is its actual name, the cock of the rock. We found that when we were looking through our South American animals, and we decided we have to talk about this because, A, the name's amazing, and it's a really cool-looking bird anyway. Also, I just, like, the cock of the rock, are they related to chickens?
No.
Okay, because it's called a cock, and that's the only cock I'm aware of. Well, wow. that's the only animal cock I'm aware of is a chicken, a male chicken. Right, but okay. So they're not related to chickens. Mm-hmm. Also, of the rock, do they live in rocks?
Yes, they often are in areas like cliffs and ravines.
Okay.
That's where
the of the rock comes from. Because the other thing popping into my head is like Rock and Robin. Like, rocks in the treetops all day long, hopping and bopping in.
I've never heard.
How have you not heard Rock and Robin?
I'm just an uncultured swine.
I guess. Has anyone made it through their childhood without hearing Rock and Robin? I feel like that's a childhood. Wasn't there a movie? I feel like there was a movie, Rock and Robin.
Probably.
Anyway, but no, the bird does not sing. They live in rocks. Okay, so tell us about them. Tell us about the cock of the rock. Also, it's just fun to say.
All right. So the cock part of the cock of the rock name comes from the fact, well, perception from the discoverer that it had a resemblance to a rooster, and that's how it got that part of its name.
Okay.
Yeah. There's...
I don't see that, but okay.
Toot your own. And there's only two species. It comes from the family... I'm going to butcher this, probably.
Okay.
Contingidae.
Sure. We'll go with that.
And they're from the genus Rupicola. There's Rupicola, Rupicola.
That just sounds like Rupicola.
That the common name is Guianan, cock of the rock. And then there's Rupicola Peruvianus. Yeah, Peruvianus. And that is the Andean cock of the rock. Those can both actually be found at the San Diego Zoo.
Okay, I'm terrible. I don't look at all the birds.
It's they're in the ones in the Andean is in the Parker aviary, and then the Guianan is in a separate aviary.
Oh, this is the zoo.
Yeah, at the zoo in San Diego.
Okay, yeah. I don't spend that much. I should go. I just haven't been there in a while. But those, I love those aviaries. They're so nice.
Yeah, they're awesome. And these guys, they're found in a similar region. The Andeans. They are found in from Venezuela to Bolivia, whereas the Guianans are found in a multitude of countries, typically more northern in South America, like French Guiana, Guyana, Suriname, Venezuela, northern Brazil, and western Colombia.
But they're pretty much purely South American, it sounds like.
Yes, they are strictly found in South America. Okay. Unless you find someone with a pet one,
okay,
which they shouldn't have.
Which you shouldn't have it. Don't be involved in the illegal pet trade.
Yeah, and these guys, the only age range I could find out about them is about 7 years.
Okay.
And for a bird of that size, that's pretty reasonable. And they're relatively small, only about a foot tall. And they are very small. They only weigh about 7 to 7.8 ounces.
Oh, how cute.
And just to put that into perspective, that is less than 2 sticks of butter.
Really?
Yeah.
Now I want a whole butter. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. But like I said earlier, birds have to be very light.
Yeah, so they can fly.
They have to fly. The only ones that aren't are birds like ratites and penguins, the ones that can't fly.
Right.
Yep. These guys technically are omnivorous, although they are primarily frugivores, which refers to animals that primarily eat fruit.
That's amazing.
Yes.
They're not vegetarian. They're frugivores.
No. Vegetarian is also a weird word. If I remember correctly, vegetarian refers to an animal that can technically eat meat, but chooses to only eat plants.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yep. Looking at you, pandas.
That makes sense. Oh, I thought you were, like, accusing me for a second.
No.
Okay.
I know very few vegetarians. Yeah. Yeah, and this, I'll get into the frugivore thing a bit later because it has some environmental importance. But these guys, there's this thing called sexual dimorphism, and that's basically where there's differences between males and females. These guys display a certain kind called sexual dichromism, which is where the males and females will actually be different colors.
Oh, cool.
Males, of course, are bright, colorful, and orange. The Andeans have black wings, whereas the Guianans are pretty much all orange, just a bit different shades. Whereas the females are drab, brownish color.
Oh, that's rude. It's kind of like peacocks, then.
Yeah.
Peacocks are so fancy, and then a peahen is not fancy.
Which, that is a result of...
Peacock! Sorry, continue.
And that brings to the point of... sexual selection. The reason these males end up this way is because this is seen as something attractive to the females. So, of course, the males that survive to pass on their genes to future generations are the ones that are flashy and colorful.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually have a fun display for the females. They're gonna, males will gather an area called a lek, and that is where there's a bunch of males that will show off their own little dancing moves, their colors, even do a little singing.
Oh, wow.
And squawking, and just grunting at each other.
Oh.
Especially in this...
At each other or toward the girls?
More so towards the females once she arrives.
Okay.
And then when the female chooses, she and guy will go do their thing.
The chosen one, yes.
Yes. And then she will fly off. She's already made her nest at this point.
Okay. Because
she's a responsible mother.
Good job.
She made a very fine nest.
She knew. She planned her parenting. This was on purpose.
She made a very fine nest out of mud and palm fibers.
That sounds pretty good, actually.
And she leaves to go do this all on her own.
Oh, of course. The male has nothing to do with. That's how life is.
Then the male just returns to the lek to try to attract another female.
What? Oh, that's why it's called a cock.
Yep.
That's why it's called a cock.
Yeah. This is this kind of breeding system is called a polygynous breeding system, in which a single male will mate with several different females.
So some birds are monogamous, kind of, but these guys are not like that.
Some birds, like bald eagles, swans, they are monogamous. Whereas these guys, typically the more bright and colorful birds will not be monogamous. They're going to typically polygynous.
Because they can.
Yeah. typically, a lot of the birds that are monogamous, it's because they are migratory.
Kind of. And
will have
sense.
To travel long distances. So it's advantageous to them to have a single partner that they can reliably just go to and mate with, make babies, instead of trying to search for a mate.
Every time, yeah. That makes sense.
Now, back to the ecology thing I mentioned earlier.
Okay.
So, the fact that they're frugivores is very important because they cannot digest the seeds, as a lot of fruit eating animals can't, because this is where the plants use us animals to do their bidding, because... When the birds eat the fruit, the seed is not digested and gets poofed out where birds travel off to. And this allows the plants to disperse their seeds across the forest, helps maintain a healthy environment, and this ecosystem thrives just to spread out the trees all over the place. And this makes the cock of the rock what's called an environmental... an ecosystem engineer, which are basically animals that change their environment or builders for their ecosystem.
Wow, that makes them sound so fancy.
Yes.
Like they went to school for engineering.
Yes. Another good example of an ecosystem engineer would be beavers. Because they build dams to clog up rivers and then form larger bodies of water.
Oh.
They change the ecosystem there.
Selfish little beavers.
Yes, but they do an important job. There's a lot of other animals are ecosystem engineers. But we won't go into that right now because I would be here forever.
Yeah, that's not part of our... Aw.
Yeah. The good thing is with these guys, both species are least concern in terms of conservation status. The Andean species, unfortunately, is in decline. But some good news is the Guyana species is, their populations are currently stable. And just a little fun fact, back in 1988, the San Diego Zoo actually became one of the first facilities ever to breed the Andean cock of the rock.
I did not know any of this.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, main threats to them, very typical of most animals, like deforestation's big one. And then they also get caught up in the illegal pet trade, unfortunately.
Do they have natural predators, too?
Yeah.
Everything that can eat them.
There's going to be birds of prey.
Like a secretary bird or a harpy eagle, but secretary bird doesn't live there.
There's also going to be snakes that will prey upon them.
Right.
And probably mongoose-like predators.
Right. All kinds of things.
Now, Allie.
Yes?
Just like this bird, I know you're pretty cocky.
That's rude.
So I have a challenge for you.
I'm afraid.
It is August.
It is August.
Yes. And what is the astrological sign?
It's not just for August. It's part of August.
I know, but...
Leo.
Part of August.
Leo.
I think of it because August is my birthday.
August is also my birthday. We are both Leos.
Yes.
And the birthday of our podcast.
Yeah.
Wait, is it a Leo? I think, because it's July something. Yes, Leo's all the way around.
So.
I'm terrified. This seems official and scary.
I made the Leo Trivia Challenge.
Oh, no. Okay.
I will give you.
I'm stressed already.
I want to say 2 minutes.
Okay. Oh. We're going to see how this goes.
Yes. And most of the questions are 10 points. There are 4 difficult, possibly impossible for you questions. You have multiple attempts, basically unlimited attempts on each one. If you don't think you can get a question, you can say pass.
Okay.
And you have a goal of getting at least 100 points.
Out because of possible.
The total of possible is 250.
So I just have to get an F.
Yes.
All right, cool.
Yes, your statuses could be, if you get 220 to 250, Queen of Africa.
Awesome.
Or if you get over 160, Queen of the Pride.
I like that one. I'm going to aim for that.
100 to 150, you'll stay in the Pride.
Oh, am I going to get rejected?
Get less than 100, you're kicked out of the Pride and mauled by hyenas.
That's horrible!
And if you get left by 50, you're a mauled lion cub.
That is mean. That is horrible. Okay, I'm going for Queen of the Pride. That's my goal.
You have 2 minutes.
Oh my gosh, okay.
The only questions you don't get multiple attempts on are the true or false.
Okay.
Okay. Let me just get my timer ready. Are you ready, Allie?
No, but we're going to do it anyway. Okay, let's do this. Okay. Also, my challenge was for both of us, and you are just singling me out, so I hope you're prepared for this in the future.
Of course.
Okay, great.
Your time will start after I finish reading the first question.
Okay.
What is the name of a group of lions?
A pride.
Correct. Name the behavior in which male lion kills cubs of previous male.
Douchebag. I don't know what that is. I don't know.
You can pass.
Pass.
Name two characteristics that make lions unique amongst cats.
They're social.
Yes.
And the male stays, well, it's social still. What else is... I'm so stressed already. The males have manes?
Correct.
Sexual dimorphism?
Yes.
Yay!
True or false, lions display sexual dimorphism.
True!
True or false, lions are endangered.
True.
False.
Really?
What continents are lions found in?
Africa. And Asia?
Correct.
Okay.
Bonus follow-up. What country in Asia are lions found?
Oh, come on, man. I don't know why I was about to say Russia, but that definitely does not sound right.
We'll move on.
Okay, thank you.
What is the name of a female lion?
Lioness.
Correct. What is the scientific name for lion?
Something Leo. Pantheris Leo.
Close enough.
Okay.
How far away can a lion's roar be heard?
Oh, I did know this. A mile? More than that. 10 miles. Am I warmer?
15? You got colder.
Okay. 5 miles.
Correct.
Okay.
True or false, lions kill more people than hippos?
False.
Correct. Lions primarily live in what kind of habitat?
Savannah.
Correct. True or false, lions are my mom's favorite cat species.
How am I supposed to know that? I'm going to say yes.
Trick question, she doesn't know.
It's horrible.
True or false, Leonardo DiCaprio is a Leo.
I don't think he is.
Correct.
Okay.
Are lions a species of big cat or small cat?
A big cat.
Correct. Name one of the lions at the San Diego Zoo or Safari Park.
I know the one that died. I don't know their names. Is Zootsy? Nope. That's not right. I don't know. Pass.
Name something lions cannot do but small cats can.
Purr.
Correct. Time.
And now the fascinating adding up of points, guys. How did I do?
Your final score was 150.
Yeah, did I make Queen of the Pride?
You're so close, I'm going to say you're Queen of the Pride.
Thank you. I was just in the Pride. How many more questions did you have?
4.
What were they? Just for fun.
What happens if you neuter a male lion?
He loses his mane? That sounds crazy. Really? Okay.
Yes, it's a testosterone-controlled trait.
That's so weird. Yeah, okay.
It's cool, though. What enables lions to have great night vision?
Pass. Eyes.
There's a membrane at the back of the eye called the tapetum lucidum.
Obviously, that was a question you never thought I would get.
Yeah. What is the spray range of a male lion?
Oh, 9, 10 feet? Nine feet.
7 to 10 feet.
Okay.
What do lion cubs have that adults don't?
Spots?
Yes.
Oh, they're so cute. Oh my gosh. Okay, that was so stressful. Okay, I didn't do as bad as I thought. I just didn't know... infanticide. That's
or the fact my mom can't decide.
That's not fair. That's obviously a trick question. I don't know your mom and her taste.
Apparently, she doesn't either. She doesn't either. She couldn't tell me.
That's horrible. Okay, I'm gonna do something to you that's mean, but okay.
Bring it on, I'll still win.
That's also not fair. You actually study all this, whereas I just enjoy it. Oh my gosh. Well, let us know how you did. Folks is gonna be my guys of this podcast, apparently. Let us know how you did. Oh, I should also mention, I, like an old person, said, write to us. What did I say? Tweet to us on our Twitter. Yeah. Tweet at us at our Twitter. Our Twitter handle.
Put us at our Twitter.
No, that's also wrong. So you can find us on the social medias at Twitter. We are at Animal Addicts P because I couldn't fit pod or podcast after that. So that's where to find us there. And on Instagram, on the IG, I think that one is at, I should probably know this before I say it, but I'm pretty sure it's at Animal Addicts Podcast. I think that's the whole name. If not, it's also Animal Addicts P. So you will find it. Casey's double checking because I should definitely know that. But yes, yeah, so follow us on Instagram and on Twitter. That is where I will be posting pictures of all these animals we talk about.
The Instagram account is Animal Addicts Podcast.
Okay, perfect. And we will be posting pictures, of course, of the Cock of the Rock and all the other animals we talked about, Secretary Bird and the Harpy Eagle, and probably the Sholo eats Quaintly. So it makes me think of, like, Sholo is its name, and then it eats, like, Quaintly, but it's a queen, so, like, it eats Quaintly. Anyway, how I try to get languages. I'm crazy. But anyway, yeah, so that is the end of our second podcast. I hope you're still sticking around.
And hopefully you know how to turn off your phone after all the drinks.
Yes. I don't think we can do a drinking game of my guys or folks issue. It's a problem. So I am sorry again to your livers. But yes, as always, this has been the Animal Addicts Podcast with your hosts, Allie
and Casey.
And we will catch you next time on the Animal Addicts Podcast.